Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Senior beauty consultant entrepreneur, where do I get her to apply to North Carolina or any big school? Texas said, I think it's a bad look if your head coach of a major program is being publicly handled by anyone, wife, age, sex, anything. Again, the takeaway from that for me was not really about who is doing it. Or I shouldn't say that. It's not about the...
Who's doing what?
Handling hoodie.
Okay. All right.
Because every coach, to some degree... has handlers. Every team has PR people. I've served in that role before. I have served in the role of, I did it for Roy Jones Jr. I did it for the Pensacola Ice Flyers. I've served in the role of, to some degree, coach, like PR coach. Hey, man, listen, if we get asked about this, here's how you handle it. Here's how you answer that. Here's what you say. Here's how you avoid that question, whatever. Spin Doctor is a real thing. It's not just a great 1990s one-hit wonder band. It's a real thing.
I think they had two hits. I'm just
two-hit wonder band.
Okay.
A spin doctor
Prince
is a job.
Whatever, and then Little Miss.
Two princes.
Two princes.
There were two princes.
Yeah.
It is a job that not only is big time in the world of any public facing enterprise, it is also a job that if you are good at it, you can make buttloads of money doing it. I was good at it. I wasn't comfortable with it. I exited that because I took over that role for county government back when I lived in Florida. And I came to the realization very quickly that some people see it as spin the story in a positive PR light, and some people see it as go lie for us. And it got to a point where it crossed too many lines for me. But the point is, just about every organization has that. They usually have a role of chief PR strategist. Or a public information officer or whatever. I've served in that role before. With sports, I don't really mind so much, right? Like with sports, fine, whatever. This is all, at the end of the day, a dumb children's game. So I didn't mind telling a head coach when, somebody got terminated from the job that was liked, which happened to me at one point. Team fired a well-liked long-term employee, and I had to help develop a strategy when that was inevitably going to be asked about by fans and by the media. I had to develop a strategy of here's how we're going to handle it so we come across looking the least terrible that we can. That's fine. I don't have an issue with that. What I have an issue with is, and I guess part of it, and this is something that sometimes it matters and sometimes it doesn't, a large part of this is just the optics. In that moment, even if we only isolate it to that moment, in that moment, it looked like Bill Belichick wasn't being spin doctored which is pretty common in sports. In that moment, it looked like he was being handled. This is what you are not allowed to talk about.
That was 60 Minutes, right? Have they been sued yet?
Sued for what?
For only putting out part of the story and just and painting it in a light that maybe it wasn't.
I mean,
which does happen. So it may be exactly what it looked like, or it may be, let me manipulate the video this way and put it this way and make sure. Belichick himself was pretty boring, but we want to make sure that she gets the focus and, you know, that sort of thing. And I'm just, I mean, you know, creative media.
I understand that there is a large swath of people who are just always going to assume that everyone with a notepad and a microphone are evil people here for the destruction of Tar Heel Nation.
Yeah, we work around here. We know that's not true.
Of course not. No is the answer. And if in your mind,
although
and I'm not
Diesel
talking,
does love that double bass stuff. That's pretty evil. So he might be evil.
Not evil. It's just loud.
Okay.
If in your mind, everything that happens with every journalist is evil and nefarious, this conversation's pointless to you.
That's what you think about me, isn't it?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it absolutely is. I think that there is a large swath of people who have just been, whatever you want to say, conditioned or trained or just actually believe.
I appreciate your restraint, and you did it without a handler.
I have been conditioned to believe that every time anyone with the title journalist speaks, they are obviously lying and manipulating the truth in order to destroy blank. Just something.
As long as they're just reporting the news unbiased. But this is not that kind of thing. 60 Minutes is more of an entertainment program than it is a news program. I mean, they do a bunch of entertainment stuff, so you can't say that they're directly reporting the news, can you?
I mean, just like with any outlet, you can do both. I don't know.
I'm just curious about what your opinion of that particular show, what it's supposed to be. That's all.
It is a 60 Minutes, which for the record, I barely ever watch. Okay? It's on with sports are on. I have sports on. I have a job. I don't care. All I can go off of is what I've seen.
So and 60 if, minutes directly following the football game, you don't stick around? And
no, because there's something else on.
Oh, okay. All right.
There's always sports on. If there is an issue with this, and by the way, Jordan did fire off. And let's be clear. There is one aspect to this as a spin doctor. There is one aspect of this that I do think is to some degree being overlooked. And it is this. This is how the celebrity couple met story is often a sellable piece, right? Like, how did Brad and Angelina meet? It's a sellable piece. Coming up this afternoon, we sit down with Brad Pitt, who tells the story about how he met Angelina. It's a sellable piece.
That's the celebrity couple you went with. Flipping it off is not going to make it go away.
No, but it made me feel better.
Why don't you just unplug it?
Because I don't want to. Now I'm curious as to how aggravating this is going to get.
Okay.
So there is a possibility that the 24-year-old entrepreneur
for sure,
is looking at this situation and going, you know, I could write a book and tell the story in the book of how I met Bill. I could write a story, and I could sell the story for money about how I met Bill. And if Bill sits down,
how I met your mother,
how I met your head coach,
yeah,
how I met your grandfather, I mean father. I could sell this story and make mucho dinero, because obviously the fact that it was asked about in the first major sit-down interview since my boyfriend / old enough to be my granddad partner was asked about it. Obviously, people are interested. I think that there is probably some element of Jordan looked at this and went, I can sell this story. And if Bill talks about it in this interview, the story's no longer sellable. It's just out there, right? Like, that's it. Just now people know. I can't write it into a book and then go sell a gazillion copies and make $1 billion. So there is absolutely the possibility that there's nothing nefarious going on here. It's just Jordan went, hey, Bill, if you tell this story on 60 Minutes, it's no longer a sellable piece anymore. And I acknowledge that's possible. But whether or not that is what happened, and I acknowledge that is probably the most likely reality, is that Jordan went, no, I want to sell this and make a lot of money. And I can't blame her for getting the bag, right? The reality is, if I'm North Carolina, not just because of that, but that is kind of the period on the end of the overall sentence. I am concerned that I brought in Bill Belichick, the most, for whatever reason, successful NFL head coach in history. I brought in this guy as we transition into the new age of college football, which is more similar to the NFL than college football has ever been before. I brought in this dude to run my college football program like an NFL team. And instead, what I'm getting is this cat who is being told from off cam by his 24-year-old girlfriend, no, Bill, you're not allowed to talk about that. Which, I don't care how you gussy and spin it, that was the optics of that. He got shushed. He got shushed from the sidelines.
You're trying to shush me now, but you used the word gussy.
Did I not use it correctly?
Oh, no, but okay.
I mean, gussied up. I've always heard the term gussied up. All right. You got gussied up.
We are talking about an older guy who might have used gussy back in the day. So
I feel like gussy is still...
Dude, come on.
I don't know. I'm 100. It felt to me like, if nothing else, forget, even if there is a valid reason, and I think her wanting to sit on that story so that she could sell it down the line, maybe there is a point where, you know, North Carolina goes 0-6 to start the season and people are going, uh-oh, told you. She could then go to that same 60 Minutes and go, hey, I'm ready to sit down and do an interview with How I Met Bill, and they get some positive PR out of it and she makes $1 billion, whatever. At the end of the day, what got shown on the internet, and if I'm North Carolina, this is what I'm looking at, was my coach I brought in to run this program like an NFL program, because college sports is moving in that direction. And the very first big time media piece that went out, he got shushed by a 24-year-old woman from the sidelines.
What if the exact opposite to that happens? Let's say they get all this media attention and controversial, maybe, and a bunch more people tune in to North Carolina football, to that first game. And I don't know who they play the first game. But let's say they destroy whoever they play the first game. All those people tune in to see the train wreck, and they say, oh, he's turned this program around. And then he wins the second game. He wins the third game. Then suddenly all this supposed bad PR got you a bunch more viewers. I'm just saying. It can go either way. And more than likely, it goes the way you said. But it could turn into a positive.
Week one, not only does North Carolina have a, not good, but respectable opponent in TCU, but they play on Monday, September 1st, and they are the only college football game in the country that night. So, I mean, again, I feel like I am turning this into a negative for North Carolina. And I feel like I'm valid in doing so.
Because, well, most people are turning it into a negative. I'm just looking at it from another angle. That's all.
I mean, again, any PR is good PR, is how the expression works. Now, that's not necessarily true. But most PR is good PR. North Carolina's got the Monday night game to themselves exclusively. By the way, the night before Sunday night, there were only two games. South Carolina is at Virginia Tech, Notre Dame at Miami. Monday night, TCU at North Carolina. That's September 1st. That is the only game on the docket for that evening.
You act like TCU is, I mean, they've been in national.
Yeah, they suck right now.
Yeah, okay.
They suck right now. All right. I mean, yeah, TCU from a couple of years ago would have been a far more compelling game. They stink right now. So it's not. I mean, it's a nationally recognized opponent in week one. And I do think, much like with Deion's first game at Colorado, people are going to tune in to see what the program looks like. And I don't fault them. Guess what? So am I. What I'm saying is...
And some people are going to tune in to see if they see her on the sideline.
See her on the sideline. I fully expect her to be wearing a damn headset at this point. Like, it feels like... And again, welcome to America in 2025. How you feel is more important than reality, is what I've learned.
I think that has more to do with the world, not just this country. But I haven't been other places.
I mean, I have been other places. I don't really care about them. I care about what impacts me directly and sports. I think that the issue you have here is that from the outside in, it looks like the man that you brought in to run your team like an NFL program, when he ruled that NFL program with an iron fist, is just letting a 24-year-old woman tell him what he's going to be and not be allowed to talk about and when and how. If you don't want him talking about the relationship, you coach him before the interview. And you say, hey, if they ask about the relationship, you say, not going to talk about that. But when you do it that way, it just looks like he's getting bossed around by a 24-year-old woman and you're paying him tens of millions of dollars to do it. Not a great look. All right, I got a few more things I want to get to, and we'll bring them up. We'll roll on after this, The Rob Brown Show, The Fan Upstate.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate after last night's Pacers-Bucks game. There were a couple of confrontations that happened on the floor, which checks out. I talked about this series late last week, earlier this week, and said the guys with the whistles on the floor need to get this in check, because this series, as physical as it is, if this series is not brought to heel, it's gonna get out of control. And It waited until last night's game, and therefore the series itself was over. But there were multiple confrontations on the floor between Bucks and Pacers players. But the interesting confrontation that took place was between the Greek freak Giannis Antetokounmpo and the father of Tyrese Halliburton. Not Tyrese himself. Tyrese's dad. Apparently, after Indiana finished off the game and sent the Bucks back home, eliminating them from the NBA playoffs, the father of Tyrese Halliburton walked onto the basketball floor with a towel that had Tyrese's face on it and began shaking it around in Giannis Antetokounmpo's grill and saying, "That's what we do. Enjoy the flight home. Enjoy Cancun," whatever else it was that he was saying. Giannis elaborated on that at the postgame press conference. And I think there was some level of, to me, understanding of Giannis in that confrontation. Because in the heat of an L like that, to have somebody that had nothing to do with the L get into the face of a competitor who has just been eliminated from the playoffs, it's kind of understandable that Giannis had a, let's say, confrontational reaction. My immediate thought was, although I would not condone it, I would have kind of understood if Giannis Antetokounmpo would have put Senior Halliburton on his ass. Like, I'm not saying like clocked him, but if he'd have put 230 pounds of Greek freak and shoved him to the floor, he would have taken a lot of heat. And I think I'd have come in here the next day and gone, "I'm not holding it against Giannis Antetokounmpo at all." If you get into the face antagonistically with a dude who just got bounced from the playoffs with the intensity of Giannis Antetokounmpo, you better not be shocked when you get put on your ass. Like, of course he's going to do that. I don't have any fault with Giannis at all. In fact, I said back in hour number one, the only reaction that I had to this entire story was, number one, good on Tyrese Halliburton. Because in the postgame presser, Tyrese Halliburton was asked about this, and he said, "Yeah, my dad went too far. He stepped over a line, and he and I are going to have a conversation about this." By the way, the Halliburton senior has already issued an apology to Giannis Antetokounmpo and has said, "It will not happen again. I will not put myself or anyone else in that position," which, good. Okay, cool. I appreciate it. As far as I'm concerned, cool. Issue resolved, right?
Should Tyrese Halliburton be fined or something like that? Because it's his dad. Was his dad supposed to be on the floor? I mean, should there be repercussions for this?
I mean,
because if it was a normal fan, there would be a problem.
So that kind of goes in line with the next thing that I was going to say. I have, in years gone by, defended court storming as kind of fun. Like, it's a fun activity. It's fun for the fans. We talked earlier in the show, I'm actually going to bring it back up later, about Wrexham FC, the football club in Wales owned by Ryan Reynolds and Greg McElhinney. And I've talked about the fact that, you know, this club has succeeded and gained three consecutive promotions to the second level of UK football because they've made their fans feel like they're part of the team. They buy in, they invest, therefore they support the club. The club has more resources because of it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I have always been pro court storming, but this is where you end up with a problem. The solution to me is very simple. You cause a problem on the floor, you're done. And I don't care if you're random fan X, and it's your first game or your 1,000th game, and I don't care if you're Tyrese Halliburton's father. You cannot have a world in which fans make it onto the floor and become antagonist to the other team. You can't do it, right? There was a video from Duke, North Carolina game, I think, basketball game, a couple of years ago, where one of the teams, I mean, it was a few years ago, the away team won, and they were out. Oh, no, you know what? It was an Auburn game, and Auburn won. I think it was Alabama they beat on the road. And there was an absolutely iconic picture where one of the Auburn players, it's taken from behind the Auburn player. He's standing on the scorekeeper's table and he's holding his jersey out. So the Auburn is pushed out and it's like all the Bama fans behind him. And you can see the faces of anger, aggravation or whatever. There's like a dude in his 70s who's giving the player the double bird. There's like a couple of ladies who are like pointing, and you can tell like they're yelling at the kid. All right, that's one thing. You're in the stands where you belong. He's on the court where he belongs. It is what it is. To me, it's very simple. If a player exits the floor to get involved with a fan in the stands, you know, the fan area, that player takes a big time punishment. If a fan leaves the stands and goes onto the court and creates a problem, that fan gets penalized. And I don't care if you're Tyrese Halliburton's dad. I don't care if you are Michael Jordan himself. If you're a fan and you end up in a position where you are quite literally bumping foreheads with a player, that to me is on the fan. If Tyrese Halliburton's dad is at his chair and he's holding up the towel with his son's face on it and he's pointing it at Giannis Antetokounmpo, whatever. That's sports. That's basketball. That's part of the game. But when you walk onto the floor and you walk over to Giannis Antetokounmpo and you get in his face, you're crossing a line at that point. There is a scene from Ted Lasso. If you've never seen Ted Lasso, phenomenal show. There's a scene from Ted Lasso where they've got a player, his name's Isaac McAdoo. He's the captain of the team. And they got another cat on the team named Colin. And you find out later in the series that Colin's gay. And in the series, there's a fan at one of the games. And he uses a homophobic slur towards the gay player. And Isaac McAdoo, the captain, goes up into the stands and get much like Giannis and Tyrese's dad, goes nose to nose with this cat. It's telling him off. And in the post-game press conference, Roy Kent, who is the vet former player turned coach of the team, is asked, do you and the team condone what he did? And he says, no, of course we don't condone what he did. But we also understand why he did it. And we also understand what happened. And it feels like fans believe that because they have bought a ticket, they have a right to say what over the top, ridiculous stuff that they want to say without repercussion. And that can't be the case. Because while they are premier top-level athletes, they are still human beings. And that's kind of the spot I found myself in here. I'm like, dude, if Giannis would have knocked Tyrese's dad to the dirt, I would have been team Giannis in this. I'd have said, yeah, he deserved it. What do you want? You can't just go get into the face of a guy who just lost a playoff game doing the thing that he does for a living and expecting there to be no repercussions. If the NBA wants this to stop, and they should, it's real simple. Tyrese's dad is banned for the rest of the playoffs. You don't even have to ban him from the rest of the, you know, you don't have to ban him from the stadium, but he's banned for the rest of the playoffs. You went on the court and got into the face of a basketball player. You can't do that. Run over to your boy, hug him, high five him, whatever. We're even cool with you being on the floor. You're Tyrese Halliburton's dad. But I cannot have you get in the face of Giannis Antetokounmpo, one of the biggest stars in the game, and we pretend like that's okay. Because all you've shown is to the people that are courtside, you can do that now. And while Tyrese's dad just wanted to shake a towel in Giannis's face, what about somebody who takes it one step further and physically confronts Giannis Antetokounmpo? Can't let it happen. Can't let it happen. All right, take a break. Back after this, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. There's an interesting article up on, well, article. I guess it's an op-ed, I guess. It is put together as a conglomeration piece of all of the beat writers from ESPN's NFL coverers, all the NFL's beat writers for ESPN. And in the discussion, we're just flipping to that, aren't we, Alonzo? We're just flipping to that.
Come on.
We're just flipping to that. Yesterday, okay, all right. I'm going to come back to the conglomeration.
Yeah,
piece.
That's come on.
So, okay, why are we doing this? It's so dumb, and I have to have it.
Fun. I mean, come on.
Yesterday, ESPN asked on the show, as they are, an entertainment organization.
They have changed it. Look, they changed it to Royal Rumble.
They did change it to it, probably because WWE called and was like, guys, that's not what it's called.
Yes.
So yesterday on the show, we brought up the fact that as one of their conversation pieces, because it's peak off season time, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN asked on their broadcast, which insider would win in a Royal Rumble? They actually said Battle Royale yesterday, but they've changed it today to an ESPN Insider Royal Rumble. And apparently, the folks over at ESPN Bet, before we get into it real quick, apparently, no athletes, no former athletes. It is all the nerds with pens and microphones.
Yeah, I've completely changed my pick according to the odds that I just saw. No, not according to the odds, just actually seeing who's in it.
Yeah. So they went with they had ESPN bet put together odds for who would win in an insider Royal Rumble. Here's the list. They got Peter Schrager as a long shot underdog,
which I think is, I would put some money on Schrager.
I would too,
because he is one of the more athletic guys out of all the guys listed.
Like, I have to assume they took, you know, personality into this. Like, oh, Peter's not really a killer, and there's some guys on this list that might be killers.
Yeah, I think there's an obvious winner. I want to wait and see what you say.
Peter Schrager is 250-1. Jeff Passan, the baseball dude, 150-1. They got Tim Kurkjian, another baseball dude, 125-1.
Tim Kurkjian's like 93.
Pete Thamel, 50-1. They got the Schaub's Bomb dropping at 20-1. They got Windy at 12-1. And the odds on betting favorite for which ESPN insider would win a Royal Rumble is Adam Schefter at 3-1 odds. Schefty's an in shape dude. Schefty's an in shape dude.
He's also like, what, 5'2"? I mean, that comes into play. It actually might help him in a Royal Rumble, because the non-athletic people would have to get him up over the top rope, and him being shorter. I think Peter Schrager and Jeff Passan, first of all, organize, and they all get Windy out, because it would take them all.
Windy's absolutely the buddy of the show, Paul White.
Yeah, he's the, yeah, for sure.
If we're going top rope Royal Rumble, Windy has short odds because, and I say this lovingly as a fellow big-boned American, Windy's a big boy. It's going to take some teamwork from other competitors to get him up and over that top rope. He enters like Paul White, where you know every now and then he's going to win one, because you've got to make it look like the big guys are an absolute challenge. But it is going to take, you do have Kurkjian and Passan together as the baseball dudes.
Yeah, but again, Kurkjian's age comes into play. By the way, look at them doing
this. Kurkjian is the only former athlete on this list, though.
Look at them doing this a couple days in a row. But here's the wild card, or the ace in the whole thing is Passan, because he goes to WWE events. They just showed him on the screen. But that's not the first one he's been to. He goes to WWE all the time, which means, more than, as a student of the game of baseball, he's probably also a student of the game of wrestling. He understands the techniques and the tricks to get everybody else out of the ring and win the Royal Rumble, rather.
I have said, you know, many times, part of the reason I had this weird fantasy of being in a bar brawl one day, like a legit, like, Patrick Swayze movie bar brawl.
There are some ways you could probably make that happen, but yeah.
I don't want to start one. I just want to be there when one breaks out.
Well, if you know certain people who have the propensity to do, you just go hang with them. They're going to start one eventually.
I want to be in a bar brawl, and part of my dumb little fantasy of being in a legitimate bar brawl that I do not start, but I get involved with, there's two reasons why. Reason number one is because it feels like, you know, when you're in a fight, you're in a fight. When you're in a brawl, if you take a punch to the eyeball and you go, that's enough of that crap, you just go to the wall and tag out, right? I'm out. You find a door and you leave it.
I was going to say, or you just leave.
Yeah, you find a door, you walk out. Everybody else is too concerned with beating the hell out of each other to pay attention that one guy just tried to leave. Get him! The second reason is there is a dorky, nerdy side of me that goes, if you were ever going to get the opportunity to actually try doing dumb professional wrestling moves, the bar brawl's it. If I'm ever going to hit a brogue kick on a dude, it's going to be in a bar brawl. If I'm ever going to get to drop a claymore on a bro, it's going to be in a bar brawl.
All right. Claymore more likely than a brogue kick, because you got to get your one leg up really high for that. With the claymore, you're just running and jumping.
I got a brogue kick in me.
You think so?
Yeah, I think you'll be surprised. I'll try it during the break.
And we've watched several things. We reviewed them on the stream where people actually have used wrestling moves in real-life situations.
That's your one chance you're going to get.
So we know that they can be effective depending on what move you're using.
Yeah, that's the one chance you're going to get. So, like, that's the spot. That's part of the dumb fantasy is because I could run around the bar hitting Superman punches on dudes and feel like it might actually work, right? So I would go with that. And I would think that that does give Passan a bit of a super fan advantage of he's going to know how to pull off. And Passan's a young dude, too, right? Like, he's not an old guy. He's probably got enough athleticism in him that he could knock down a couple of claymores, remove a couple of the other inside. If Passan hits a brogue kick on Shams, I think Shams is done, honestly. With all due respect to Shams, I think if Passan hits him with a claymore, Shams is out of that thing. I think he can get a couple of eliminations early in it, because like Lonzo said, sometimes being a student of the game will allow you to pick up on and take advantage of things that guys that don't know the game may not have in the bag. And I think that's a bit of a, I think that's probably a bit of a plus advantage for Jeff Passan. Knowing the game, knowing what's going to work in what spots and where, like knowing how to handle yourself around the ropes, you know, there's a certain way that you can and can't move around the ropes to give yourself a chance. I think Passan knows that.
He also probably one of the, well, Schrager actually has some WWE knowledge too. Both those guys know that you can go under the bottom rope, you can go through the middle rope as long as you don't go over to the top rope. I'm not saying they would use heel moves, but having knowledge of that, knowing that you can go under and not go over and still be in the match, you go out, you bide your time, you jump back in, you take the last guy out. It happens all the time.
I mean, you gotta know the game to play the game. And I think the guys with some experience have some. Now, if we are going, this is if it is a Royal Rumble. If we are going straight legitimate bar fight, right? Last man standing bar fight style, that changes my pick a little bit. Shefty is my pick at that point at 3-1. If it is a bar brawl, because Shefty, I had to kick a lovely young lady out of my bed to break a story one night. That's what you do after you've been up in the bar for a minute. I think Shefty, it would not shock me if Shefty actually has some bar ball experience in his past.
All right, in that case, I'm going with Schrager. Still going with Schrager.
The underdog pick.
Yeah. The two least picked guys are the guys that I think have the best chance to win either.
I like Schrager. I don't see that dog in Peter Schrager. I don't see that.
You probably didn't watch enough Good Morning Football, and I've seen some of that in him. So I think he'd be okay.
I also think
Wendy would cry, but that's just,
listen, after the LeBron thing, the way Wendy handled himself, right? Like, everybody was trying to get him to get after Braun, right? Everybody was trying to set him up to say some stuff about Braun. After that Braun thing and the way Wendy handled himself, I got a lot of respect, like genuine professional respect for Brian Windhorst. But also,
wow, he's losing his meal ticket. I mean,
what, no, he's not. No, he's not.
No, he's established himself now. But that's how he got established, and it almost looks like that was false and that never was true, unless LeBron was just messing with him.
I think
because calling someone weird isn't exactly a cut and laughing while you're saying it.
I'm no, not at all. It. But again, regardless of whether it's true, whether whatever, when Wendy was repeatedly being goaded with a D, not a G, or not a T, to try to, like, fire back at Braun, when he was grabbing mics, and he's like, look, he has a right to feel how he feels. I'm sure I do kind of come across as weird sometimes. It's part of the job. One guy, I think he was on, it was either Eisen or Patrick, and they were like, have you lost respect from some of the players? And when he was like, I was really afraid that I was going to. He said, no, not really. He said, like, guys are reaching out to me and being like, hey, don't worry about that, right? Like, you're still my guy. You still have taken care of me. You're my guy, whatever. I got a lot of respect. You don't have the ability to handle that situation with that much grace and finesse and professionalism unless you got some confidence in yourself, unless you've got a little bit of that, yeah, I'm untouchable. Even by LeBron, I'm untouchable. Like, I'm going to be fine. Wendy handled it like a champ. I think Wendy's my Bobby Lashley in this situation. Just like, there's no fear of somebody's going to KO me. I think Wendy's got all the confidence in the world. I'm not worried about it.
I don't know. I think maybe comparing him to like Tugboat or something. I don't know if I'd go Bobby Lashley.
I was initially going to go Otis, but Otis ain't one of... He's like 2020 Otis when he was winning the Money in the Bank for no reason because they didn't do anything with him and I'm still mad about it. I think Wendy's a good dark horse.
He was
riding
with Mandy at that time, though.
So, that's also true. He was doing something. I'm going to say, who doesn't have a chance? We're going to eliminate Kirchin. I love Tim, but Tim doesn't have a chance in this. Even as a former pro athlete, he's past his prime. I don't have an issue. I just don't see Schrager having the dog in him. I think passing at 150-1 is like a solid underdog pick in that spot. Shefty's a 3-1 favorite for a reason, man. Like, Shefty's the only one of these guys. Shefty and Shams are the only guys that are, like,
well, Shefty's
actually
the
in shape.
He's the most well-known person out of all of them. So that's I'm going, this is a popularity pick. It's not about...
It's a popularity pick at all.
For sure. How tall do you think Schefter is?
You keep going to height. Like, that's the only thing that matters, dude. I can tell you, I've watched some tall dudes get their asses whipped.
We're talking about Royal Rumble, and if we're talking about Royal Rumble, height does come into play.
To some degree. But, I mean...
You can be too tall, and you can be too short.
I think you put too much stock into size. Height and weight. Like... I know some fat boys who are strong. I know some thin dudes that are psychopaths.
Wendy might be the equivalent of Omos compared to all those other guys. I don't know because they don't list their heights.
I don't think Wendy's that tall. I think Wendy's.
I don't think any of those other guys are either.
No, that's my point. But again, I think Shefty's the only one of those guys that if I ask them, have you touched a barbell recently? Shefty's probably the only one saying yeah.
Without a doubt, he's the heel of the whole thing, though.
I do agree with that. I don't think there's a... I could see Shams being a heel. Like, all his insider stuff comes because he's, like, secretly in bed with the authority. I could see Shams being, like, a good, like, bleep-eating heel kind of heel. Shefty is absolutely the one heel on this list. I would take Shefty in the dub for that reason. All right. When we come back, 32 NFL teams participated in the draft last weekend. ESPN's put together a very interesting list of questions that these teams must still answer before we get to fall camp. What's Carolina's? What are the biggest ones amongst Super Bowl contenders? I'll give you my thoughts on that when we come back. That's after Lonzo blows your mind with his sports flash.
Ain't no doubt. I'm winning the Battle Royal on the fan Battle Royal. Whatever, Rob. Whatever. We'll see. We'll see. Let's do it. The Indiana Pacers closed out the Milwaukee Bucks last night with a 119-118 overtime win. Tyrese Halliburton had 26 and Miles Turner added 21 in the win. The Detroit Pistons climbed within a game of the New York Knicks with a 106-103 win over those Knicks. Cade Cunningham had 24 and Ausar Thompson had 22 in the win. Boston finished off Orlando with a 120-89 win. Last night, Jason Tatum had 35 and Jaylen Brown scored 23 in a win. The Denver Nuggets pushed the LA Clippers to the brink with a 131-115 win. Nikola Jokic had another triple-double with 13, 10, and 12, while Jamal Murray scored 43 on 17 of 26 shooting. Our number four of the Rob Brown Show is next, right here on The Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.